You're listening to Industry Iowa, presented by CIRIS, the Center for Industrial Research and Service. Here's your host, Stephen Wilson.
With us today on Industry Iowa is Susan Frew. Susan is a speaker, entrepreneur, AI innovator who bridges the gap between cutting-edge technology and real-world business applications. Susan is going to be speaking at the Ivy College of Business Sales Innovation Summit coming up April 7th, and that is going to be on the campus of what I like to refer to as the Iowa State University. And Susan, I'd like to welcome you to Industry Iowa.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so looking forward to the event. And I love coming to Iowa. I was there 8 times last year, so
you were here 8 times. Wow. Friends.
Yep.
Well, excellent. Yeah, yeah. It's looking forward very much to the event. It's just at this point that as we're recording this, just about 45 days away, 40 days away. So looking forward to that. Well, as we kick off here, just want to get a little intro and background. You wear many hats, as I mentioned that in the introduction there, many hats. How did your journey evolve from corporate leadership into becoming a practical AI strategist for businesses? And I really, again, emphasizing that practical AI strategist. So take it away.
Well, I started my tech career in New York City. So I worked for AT&T Wireless there, and then I was transferred to Denver, which is where I live. And then ultimately, I was transferred to the country of St. Vincent and the Grenadines in Grenada. And I was the general manager for 2 countries for AT&T Wireless. So I learned a lot about tech. And when I came back, though, I ended up buying a business coaching franchise. And I did that for 7 years. In the middle of that, my husband and I started a business, which we now have sold. But I have always been a technologist, if you will. Okay. And of the thousands of businesses that I've spoken to or met with or coached over the years, I really learned a lot about systems and flow. Right. And that is really the most important thing when you're implementing AI into an organization. You need to go old school before you go new school. And you can't just go and slap a technology on a problem or an area you think's a problem and it's going to magically, be better. That's absolutely false. And you're going to spend a lot of time and money.
We've seen that in the continuous improvement world where people say we want to automate this process. And rather than doing that old school improving of that process first, just slap automation on it. And in the end, it just makes bad product faster. So you're saying the same thing that applies with AI. Okay, excellent. And technology.
Yeah, I think what I've been seeing is people are getting really disappointed. They're getting dismal results. They're feeling like, oh my gosh, I wasted all this time and money and now nothing's being automated. Well, a couple of different reasons for that. One, what we just said, people are not mapping it properly. 2, I think that people are not engaging their teams. And if you're going to roll out AI in your organization, you really need the buy-in and the consensus of the group and ask everyone for their opinion and bring them around the table and train everyone together. Because if you do it in a vacuum, you're going to create suspicion and anxiety and what have you with your team. So by bringing them into the fold and talking through their friction points in their workflow, and especially like if you have this department connects to this department, to this department, to this department, they all need to be in the room. And I'm talking flip charts, markers, sticky notes, the whole thing. Right. And then we can find an AI solution. And then I also tell people to let's roll it out a little bit slower, right? Let's take 1 or 2 things that are really like kind of low hanging fruit. And then let's dive in there and work with those. And it's a constant improvement, right? So it's constant evolution. And I heard yesterday, and I've known about this new position that some larger companies are starting, and it's like a subscription manager or a tools manager in an organization. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because these tools evolve so quickly that you need a person to be managing, like, oh, do we still need these subscriptions? Because now our regular software does this. Can we just use one tool instead of the other one? Yeah. It's very interesting on what I'm seeing.
what your signature talk and I'll encourage and I want you to give your web address as we go through here. But one of the things that is on there, your signature talk, Recoded: Transform Your Business DNA with AI. What inspired that title? I'm sure some of the stuff that you've already mentioned, but what inspired that title, and what does recoding DNA mean for a business?
Well, so glad you should ask. My new book just came out, as you can see.
That's right. Yes, congratulations.
This is an author copy. But it started with this. I had a DNA surprise in January of 2021. I found out some apparently deep, dark secrets in my family, and there's really no one still alive to verify any of this. But I started talking about the DNA, and it made me stop and think about what is the DNA in your business? So The DNA in your business is made up of your experiences, your clients, people who you've worked with, your employees, where you've been, where you've worked, where you're educated. And now that DNA is being challenged, and it needs to adjust and change with the new world of AI. So I've been for past 2 years talking about how the DNA merges into your business, but I wrote this because it's a workbook. So this is a step-by-step guide on how you can automate your company using AI. And that's why it's as thick as it is. I mean, I really anticipated it being a small book. It isn't, because it's got worksheets inside. And I think that that's going to be paramount. And of course, I think I'll have to keep updating it. However, the foundational principles, I don't think that will change.
What common misconceptions do you hear most from leaders about AI? You mentioned, that people are being, they're disappointed, they're disillusioned. What are some of the other misconceptions that you're hearing from leaders about AI?
Well, a lot of leaders feel like you train your team and then that's the end of it, right? You're going to do a training and boom, we're done. That's not the best way to do it. And once again, not going to get the best results. And the key to that is the team that I said you're going to bring everyone around the table is to have an AI committee inside of your organization. And the AI committee are the ones who will really be taking these projects down the field. So we set the projects, we set the goals, we know what we're going to do. And then that committee will meet regularly to accomplish the workflow goals. So I think that people are misnomer about that. Another thing that I see all the time, Steve, and completely dangerous to do this: the free versions of any of these AI tools, also known as the public versions, are not secure. And they can connect to all of your data, which is like, yay, I can connect to Google Drive and OneDrive and Canva, all these cool things, yay. Well, guess what? When you are using the free version, you are consenting to allowing them to train on your data. Another thing about that inside of your organization, if you don't have an AI policy and you're giving your team these tools to use, so maybe you choose Microsoft Copilot, which is by far the most secure, I think. So Microsoft Copilot or whatever one you pick, if you don't give them rules and guardrails, they're going to use it anyway. And now your data is being used out in the world, out in the wild in there. And so I really tell people, you've got to pick a program, decide which one is going to be, invest the money in it, and invest in a longer term training strategy and not one time.
Going back to that Recoded framework, and you mentioned this a couple of times as far as mapping that the company, right? And you're talking about history, habits, tech stack, people. You're starting with that. Once they have done that, what's that next step for them?
It's the beta testing, right? So if we say that we're going to automate the newsletter every single week, or we're going to use AI to do these five things in the marketing area. So now we're going to do a little bit of trial and error. So yes, you can create a 30-day content plan. You can then create 30 days of content to go out into the web. You can create 30 days of newsletters, whatever it is that you want to do. So that's one program. So let's roll that out. And now we're going to test and measure it through a period of time. I recommend like 90 days before you scrap it and, mm-hmm. and keep massaging it and making it work. And the another key too is how you are prompting your AI. People don't like getting this sort of canned AI response. Well, part of that is because you need to train the AI on you. And, yeah. and it's like you are having a PhD level assistant for $20 a month, but they know absolutely nothing about your business, but they're incredibly smart. And that's how you need to train your AI. And people who spend the time to train it are the ones getting the really great results.
All right, let's play on that. How do you train? What's the in an effort to just based on time and diminishing returns and all of that stuff? What is the best way? What is that practical way to train your AI?
So I recommend that everyone have what I call a master prompt, and a master prompt will tell the AI how you like to communicate. What is your style? Who is your audience? What you do for a living? What you really want to get across when you are communicating? And keep that master prompt document, I say, on your desktop, make a PDF of it. So if you're using ChatGPT all the time, you can load all of that in the back end of your AI. You can go under the personalization tab and you can tell it how you like to communicate. Are you a short burst communicator, long-winded? You know, for me, jokingly, because I'm from New Jersey, it's a lot of people make fun of me about that, but I say, you know what, I'm a short, snappy communicator. If you get a 3-paragraph email from me, I have either died or been hacked, because that's not happening. So I have them make this master prompt and keep it on the desktop. If you load it in the back end of all of your all of the AI that you're using, all the better. But say you decide you're going to do a project in Claude. Claude doesn't know you're from Adam. You want to start doing a writing program in there. You take the master prompt, put it into Claude and say, these are my parameters. This is how you get to know me. I want you to answer whatever I ask you through this lens. And then finally in there, to get a better response, is to say, if you are unsure of anything, ask me questions. So you can have the AI going back and forth. You can also ask it to interview you. So if you tomorrow you get a ChatGPT subscription, you get on the paid plan, before you really start digging in there, ask it to do the interview. It will ask you, what do you do? What do you like to communicate? What are you planning to use the AI for? Where are you from? It will ask you dozens of questions, which is fantastic. And now it's going to know more about you and have a better filter.
In your Ivy Summit description, you emphasize that AI isn't just a trend, but a transformation, right? What separates companies that truly see it as such, that it's a transformation? What differentiates, what separates those companies from those that truly embrace it and those that will be left behind?
Well, I think that there's going to be an upset in the pricing schedules, right? So if you have one company running super lean and automated and efficient using AI, and now the company across the street who does exactly the same thing is not using it, your pricing's going to be off, because now the person using the technology properly is going to have increased output with less money. So now when we go to market and you're going to sell your product and I'm going to sell my product, our profit margins are going to be upside down. So I think that that's like a really major reason that you need to get on board. I also think that if you are an employee in an organization, that it is key for you to start leveling up. The number one phrase on Indeed right now, whether it be resumes or job postings, is AI literate. And I also recommend that if you're going to take a course to up level your skills, that you take a live course. because it changes so fast. Every single time I do my keynote, I have to redo the presentation because there's something new. Every time. And that's never happened to me before. I've been a professional speaker for a long time. You know, usually I write a keynote, it lasts for a couple of years even. Yeah, no, not now. Maybe a month.
Who within the organization owns AI?
It's not who you think. A lot of people just think it's the IT department, which, of course, the IT department is very important because they are going to talk to you about security. They're going to understand, you know, what the risks are. They're going to understand what can be done. And some IT folks are not really, you know, into learning new things. Like, they're just doing the things that they've been doing for years. The responsibility lies with all the leaders in each functional area. Those are the people who are going to make it happen. If they're not on board, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I was hoping yes, that was going to be your response. Yes, because that is something that individuals that are just being introduced to it believe that it's an AI, it's an IT function, and it certainly is not. Your fellow speaker, one of the other speakers, Bill Schmarzo, he's going to be speaking there at the sales summit. He talks about that AI can amplify the work that's being done. Your sentiments on that, and what does that look like as in your context?
Well, some of the things that I think that I use amplification for, and I love that word. I think it's a very accurate word for sure. But one of the things that I like to use it for is writing. And I just wrote this. I wrote this book mainly using my voice because that I'm an auditory processor. And if I didn't have AI, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So I transcribed 10 of my keynotes and I put it into a couple of different AIs, and then I flushed that out into 12 different chapters. So it's my idea, my words, but amplified to make it easier for the reader to read. I turned it into a workbook, which I'll say this would have taken me 2 years, really, honestly, to do it. Another thing that I have been having a lot of fun with, and I think, and I will be sharing this at the event, is how to use AI to write winning proposals, because you now have the opportunity to personalize your proposals, your outbound marketing, what have you. And what I do is I will go on a Zoom call with someone who's thinking of hiring me. We call that a discovery call. I transcribe that conversation, and then I write the proposal based off of our conversation.
Yes.
So now it's exactly what you and I talked about. It's hearing things that I may have missed because I'm talking too much, especially if you're talking to a committee, right? You know, when you're trying to present something to five people on Zoom, you know, who said what, and, you know, it's hard to sort of follow, but the AI can interpret that. It can also read the body language. So if you take the actual video and put it in Google Studio, which is free, it will analyze everyone's body language and tell you how you should position your proposal. And that is a sales winner that is going to crush the competition because no one is going to have that level of detail going in.
Give us a little, pulling back the curtain of the wizard there, but give us a little insight. What are you going to be talking about? What else are you going to be talking about on the 7th?
I talk about usable AI, how you can take this tool and use it right now. And I don't mind if people bring their laptops. It's a laptops open experience. You'll be able to log in and follow what I'm doing. I will also show you what I have used in my own business with other clients, the tools we use to get our plumbing company ready for sale. And then at the end, I will give everyone a really robust digital handout that will have all of those videos in there. So when they get back to their office, they can go through and do it a little slower, follow step by step, and have the ability to really implement.
What key insight or tool And it's gonna, I know it's gonna, you're gonna be able to speak to individuals. They're all gonna be in different roles and maturity with regards to AI. What are some of the key things you're hoping and wanting them to walk away with?
I want every audience that I speak to walk away with a confidence that they now understand what this technology can do, at least 2 to 3 ideas of how they can use it, and some tools that they can play with instantly. I mean, they can right there while we're working, they can do it right there, or as soon as they leave the room and get back to their shop or their office, they will have the ability to use these tools instantly. And that's always my best and highest mission when I'm speaking with audiences.
Mm-hmm. This is sales and innovation. How do you see AI, you know, pull out your crystal ball, your magic wand, whatever those things are there, those tools you use. How do you see AI shaping the future of those areas?
I'll give you a real life example. So I love Google Notebook LM. It is one of my favorite tools. I adore it. If you have a Google account, it's free. It's amazing. It's also contained so that it doesn't share the information on the web unless you actually ask it to go to the web and bring ideas. So you can take whatever information you find. So say you have 3 prospects that you want to get to know. I would go to Notebook LM first, and I would put in their website. I would put in a link to any articles I see. If it's an individual, I'd put their LinkedIn profile, put everything in Notebook LM. And then I would use the tools in there to help prepare me for that sales conversation. Oh, I see this is the history of your company. Oh, I see that you have done this. Here's your other products. What else do you do? So this way you are once again creating that customized experience, and it's about them. And you can even have the AI work through how does your product or service gel with what they're reading, what they're learning about this company. So now you walk in with bullet points of like, okay, my product and service can do blank, blank, blank for you because I know that's a challenge in your industry, right? So the prep work is mind blowing. And you're going to go in like that with so prepared, your competitors are not going to do it. So yeah, that's where the AI gives you the real leg up is understanding your customer better and understanding their needs. And you know, salespeople have gotten that wrong for 100 years, but you know, now's your opportunity to turn it around.
Now's your opportunity. Yeah. All right. Rapid fire here. I'm going to close out with some rapid fire. AI tool you can't live without in your business.
Claude.
A misconception about AI you'd love the world to stop repeating.
Okay. That it's safe to use free tools.
All right. And what are you most excited about right now in AI innovation?
You know, I think that it's going to allow us, if you use it properly, to be in our highest genius all the time. Because we can develop and load off some of the tasks that we do that are minutia, things we don't enjoy. So low enjoyment, low value, so that we can be up in the quadrant where we are on and in flow all the time. And one thing I want to just point out with that, this is a front-loaded technology, meaning you're going to have to put in the elbow grease and the effort in the beginning to get it working. And then the magic starts to happen. So you need to be prepared for that. Like, hey, you're going to have to, you know, do all the things that you need to do to get ready, test it, try it, use it, boom, repeat. And then you're really going to see the big differences.
All right. Where can, obviously we want people to come to the April 7th event. You can go on the website there, Ivy College of Business. It is the Ivy College of Business Innovation Sales Summit. And that again is April 7th on the campus of Iowa State University. How can folks find out a little bit more about you? How can they connect with you?
Well, on LinkedIn, I'm at Susan Frew. So it's our LinkedIn. It's Susan Frew Speaks. And on all of my social channels, Susan Frew Speaks. And I'm really excited to meet with everyone, and we will have a great time. I'm going to give you lots of handouts. We're going to dive in. We're going to have you roll up your sleeves and get some AI on the books in your company.
And if I remember correctly as well, you're going to have a little bit of pre-work for them, are you not?
I am. There. One of the things that makes my presentations really powerful is for people to complete a survey. I want to see how you're feeling about AI. I want to see where the room is, who's using it daily, who's using it once a week, what tools are you using? And then this way I create the presentation, once again, what the customer wants. So I'm going to deliver to you what you are asking for. So make sure you take the time to fill out that survey, and then we're really going to get some great results.
Excellent. Well, Susan, thanks again for being on Industry Iowa, and looking forward to the April 7th event.